I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on a Wednesday edition of the Daily Tip on November 5th, I'm Chelsea Messenger, he's Michael Jenkins. And of course, yesterday was the NFL trade deadline. Were you just dancing or were you fixing your sleeves?
I was dancing, actually. I'm just pointing to the camera like, hey, how you guys doing? What's going on? How you guys doing? All right, yes. See you guys later. That's, you know, keeping myself entertained.
Ah, lucky that we are on radio, James.
We are streaming.
If you do want to stream us, we are on Twitch. You know, stream at your own risk. You will see some terrible dance moves, courtesy of both of us, because I don't think both of us claim to be, you know, the best, most hip dancers. But we did have the NFL trade deadline yesterday. And, Jenks, I will say, I think I was more locked in to this year's NFL trade deadline than some of the other years. Like, maybe we didn't have, like, the big blockbuster offensive trades. But the fact that the Colts kind of feel like they are going all in this year is super fascinating to me. Because we've talked about Carly Ursay Gordon on this show before, how it feels like she is taking hold of this Colts team. And the Colts, of course, are one of those teams that are like one of the surprises of the NFL this year. So you see them making big moves where they got cornerback Sauce Gardner from the Jets. Jets got a 2026 and 2027 first-round pick. And Adonai Mitchell, who I think needed a change of scenery after you know, dropping the ball before the end zone in one of those games. But that's two first-rounders for Sauce Gardner alone. Do you think that's too much? Or do you think this is the price you pay when you have to strike, when the iron is hot? Like, maybe the Colts are thinking that this is the year.
I have no issue with this trade. I think it's one of those trades that works out perfectly for both sides. Because I know when a trade like this takes place, you say, oh, who won this trade? This is perfect for the Colts. Because, number one, it addresses a need. You're not just getting a top-end quality cornerback. The Colts are 26th in defending the pass this season. They're great against the rush. They're not good against the pass. So it immediately makes them better on defense. Sauce Gardner is also 25 years old, right? So this is not a 30, 31-year-old cornerback who has seen his better days. This guy is a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback who I think will get even better in that Colts defense. Look, if you get away from the Jets, it doesn't matter if you're a trainer. You're just going to get better. It doesn't matter if you work on the field at the Meadowlands. You're going to get better. You get away from the Jets, you are going to get better, and you just get rid of that dark cloud that's been hanging above you. So there's no guarantee that you get a player of his caliber after a couple of first rounds, particularly if the Colts, because the Colts are good this year, which means what? They're probably going to pick lower in the draft. I love this for them. And if you're Indianapolis, take context into account as well. When is the last time the Colts were relevant at all?
Right. Peyton Manning? I just feel like the NFL is... Like, I just feel like the NFL is one of those leagues that you absolutely have to strike while the iron is hot, and your window sometimes closes sooner than you think. Like, Jenks, look at the Commanders this year, where it's just one of those things where it's not just the team, it's the injury luck and how things are shaping up for the entirety of the season. So I think the Colts have something good going here. And you look at Sauce Gardner, not only is he young, he is absolute lockdown. You know, he's an all-pro for a reason, and allowing just a 50% completion percentage to, you know, opposing quarterbacks. So this is absolutely what you need if you want to compete with the big boys. Like, think about the quarterbacks that you'll be facing if you want to win an AFC championship. Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, possibly Lamar Jackson, if the Ravens get their ish together. So it's one of those things where you need to find something to combat those great quarterbacks and those great offenses. And Sauce Gardner, I'm sure, is very happy now to be playing for a good team as opposed to the New York Jets. And Jenks, it was basically a fire sale for New York, where they also traded away Quinnen Williams to the Cowboys. Maybe this was the big trade that Jerry Jones was hinting at. Jets get a 2026 second-round pick and a 2027 first-round pick, along with defensive tackle Mazie Smith. So another big haul. Like, the Jets are hoarding first-round picks, and it sounds like they should be set up for the future. But my problem is this, and I have the same complaint about my Tennessee Titans. is that no matter how many first round picks you get, mm-hmm. if you don't have a history of hitting on those picks, what good are the picks? Like, here's the thing.
Yeah,
like, if you draft somebody like Sauce Gardner and you get an all pro, somebody who is one of the best in the NFL at his position, like, what are the chances you find another one of him in the draft? Like, it just feels to me that it's not an equal trade. Even though it sounds like a lot to give up, these teams that are not great from the top down, I just don't know if they'll even find somebody with all these first round picks.
Especially the Jets. The Jets. Like, the Jets have just been mismanaged from the top for so long. Wasn't it Woody Johnson last year who vowed to make changes after the Jets facility and how they treat their players was ranked like an F? It was definitely a D at best. And there was that story which I thought was fascinating from, it was a couple years ago, where there were food trucks showing up on Fridays, I think, at Jets practices, and Woody Johnson took them away because they were cost prohibitive. And Aaron Rodgers, when he was there, decided to pay for the food trucks out of his own pocket to keep them there because the players loved it, kept them happy. And then Woody got mad at Aaron Rodgers, supposedly, allegedly, for sort of undermining him and paying for these trucks himself. So you hear stories like that. Are they true? I don't know where the truth is, but these come out. And is it entirely surprising? No, it's not. But when you have an organization that operates in that way, that is that disaligned, is it really any surprise that even with these great draft picks, they might not do anything with them? No.
Right. So it just feels to me, it's like, oh, well, we got a first round pick and it might just be an all-pro cornerback. Oh, you mean the guy that you just had that was 25 years old and you hit the lottery with, basically? So I don't know. Good luck playing that lottery, Jets. And the funniest thing is that yesterday their general manager said, I wouldn't call it a teardown when people were talking about, oh, you guys are, you know, starting from scratch, feels like a rebuilding year. He said, no, the goal is always to win. Look, these coaches and players work too hard every day, all day, with the goal of winning on Sunday, and that never changes. Your team's 1-7. Like, can we not just try to say stuff that's just completely and blatantly not true? Like, it's fine if you need to rebuild. You're not going to go to the playoffs this year, and that is fine. You had a first-year head coach. Like, call a spade, and not be like, oh, well, we're going to try to win every week, which I understand. Like, they're not going to go out there and throw games.
Yeah.
But, like, at the end of the day, it is a fire sale.
I would love if he came out and said, I think this is a playoff team. I think this is a playoff team. We got something to play for. I know what you're saying now. It's like you're rebuilding. This is just a message to the players. This is all this is, right? Like, everyone in that building knows that you guys are playing for next season. You're trading away talent. You have nothing to play for. You're out of everything.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You're just playing out the string here. So, but I understand. It's like we all see what's going on. Don't pee on my leg and tell me it's raining. That's essentially what's happening.
Right. So we'll believe it when we see it, Jets. Maybe win more than one game, and we'll believe you when it comes to winning. Some other moves across the league. The Jaguars picked up receiver Jacoby Myers from the Raiders, and Las Vegas gets a fourth and a sixth-round pick in 2026. So, honestly, I don't really care that much about the Jags and the Raiders, but I will say this. From a prop betting perspective, I saw this article from the Raiders, and Chip Kelly said, we're going to have to take multiple guys to make up for the production of Jacoby Myers because he was a big part of the offense. So, I am not going to believe in the core of receivers that they're going to have to, you know, hodgepodge and fill the holes for him, but I am going to believe in Brock Bowers. So now Brock Bowers, who is the best player on that team, bar none, who had 3 touchdowns last week and over 100 yards receiving, I feel like you play him in the props world. Maybe he doesn't get 3 touchdowns this week, but I do think he's a good option in fantasy. It is a tough matchup this week against the Broncos, who we know have one of the best secondaries and defenses in the entire league. But Brock Bowers is going to be peppered with targets. So maybe he doesn't have like his best game, but right now his line for catches is 5.5. I think I'm going to go ahead and take that over. He's going to have six catches because who else are you throwing to?
Well, that's a good point. I don't even know. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right there. I don't know. It's got to be Brock Bowers, right? Like he's finally healthy. I know he sat out for a while. So did Jacoby Myers, which is why a bad Raiders team was even worse. But as long as you find the right number, I think that's going to be the real challenge, right? So you're really good about finding value in these particular markets, which is not necessarily my specialty. My specialty is talking inflatable donkeys and hockey. That's really where I excel, honestly. That's my wheelhouse. But if you can find the right number, I think it's a great play.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Yeah.
Do you care about the Jaguars or the Raiders? Like, I really had to be like, okay, Chelsea, there's got to be something to talk about here. But, like, listen, like, these two teams just don't interest me at all.
Yeah. I mean, I think you're like, that's it. That's the conversation. These two teams don't interest me. Well, I think the Jags are sort of interesting because, first of all, Brian Thomas Jr. has to learn how to catch a pass. Okay? He has the Jaguars lead the NFL in dropped passes with 19. BTJ has 5 of those drops. And what's interesting is that they trade for Jacoby Myers, who has not had more than 2 drops in a season ever. Ever. Mm. Also, I thought this was fascinating. If you look at Jacoby Myers in his career, since 2019, he's played with 9 different quarterbacks. So if he had some sort of consistency, and not great quarterbacks, if he had some sort of consistency, you know, more awful quarterbacks than good quarterbacks, he might be able to continue to produce at a higher-ish level. And I think Trevor Lawrence maybe fits that bill. But he's going to immediately become the number one guy in Jacksonville. And if BTJ can get healthier and catch the football and not be scared of contact, the Jags might be able to do something. They haven't been impressive, but they've won enough games where they're kind of hanging around.
Yeah. I wonder, though, with offensive players, how soon the everything clicks. Because I do think defense is more of plug and play, where if you get these great defensive players, like, I know there are schemes and they still have to learn, you know, some coverages and, like, the ins and outs of the team. But do you think it's harder for offensive players to, like, have a great first game? Like, speaking of Jacoby Myers, like, if you're thinking, hey, should I bet a prop on him? Do you think it's tough for them to learn the playbook? Or do you think it's like, hey, we got you. We're going to get you open. Try to catch some plays. No.
I think it probably takes some time. They'll scheme some stuff or run some basic stuff, certainly, because they've got to have him and have him now. Mm-hmm. But I think unless you're one of those truly top-tier receivers, you know, the best of the best in the game, it's not that easy. Like, you almost have to be schemed open. Like, what was it, Tyreek Hill a couple years ago, where during his first year in Miami's offense, when he was just blowing up, he admitted he didn't really know the playbook. But he was so good and so fast in the open field, they just create a little pocket for him. It could be a slant. It could just be a quick anything. Just find him in space, a soft spot in the zone, and let him go. But he was fast enough to pull it off, elusive enough to pull it off. Not every player can do that because not every player is Tyreek Hill. I know he's banged up now. But, yes, they'll find a way to get him the football because they have to if they want to keep winning.
Yeah, I was looking at the matchup for the Jags this week. It is the Texans, like you said, and we've already talked about how we kind of like the under in that game.
Yeah.
So maybe it's not the best spot for props, but you're right. I do think that Jacoby Myers will see some action, and we don't have any receiving props up at BetMGM just yet. So we will have to wait and see when it comes to Jacoby Myers. We talked about this a bit yesterday. So the Cowboys got Logan Wilson from the Bengals. So he traded, I think, like a 3-5-1 team for like a 3-6 team, or vice versa, I should say. That's not really a move that moves the needle for me. One more, the Seahawks got Rashid Shaheed, another receiver to add to the depth chart for an already great Seahawks offense. They got him from the Saints. The Saints receive a 2026 fourth and fifth round pick. So it feels like they didn't have to give up a lot for another receiving option. Is this low-key a good move for Seattle?
It is low-key a good move. Think about those receivers now where you have JSN, and Shaheed is a guy who's done some things with the Saints, but who's throwing to him? Spencer Rattler, Tyler Shuck. I mean, any great receiver will tell you, or any good receiver will tell you, and they won't say it publicly, but yeah, you want a quarterback who can get you the football. So you're going to go to Seattle, where Sam Darnold is aces compared to anyone else on that Saints quarterback depth chart, and you have Cooper Kupp, who's getting healthy, and you have A.J. Barner, and now you add a guy like this. This is a sneaky good move.
Well, and also, anytime you can add depth to a team that is hoping to make a postseason run, we still have a long season ahead of us, and we know how injuries can be, and so it's always good to load up, and especially better safe than sorry for some.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.